You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105. Again, as always, professional. For some reason, that just seemed to cut out there. There was no hint that that show before us was going to stop. But, you know, let's try and carry on, shall we? A bit of a depleted squad this week. We're injuries for Matt, Tim and Tom. However, there is myself, Chris, and I am joined tonight by...
Hi, Steve. Yep, the Cambridge City correspondent. So we've got a bit of a focus on us and St Neots today as the two representatives in the studio.
But the two best teams in the county,
as we keep saying. We will cover United and Histon, though. So those of listening, obviously, we'll obviously get to those as usual as well. We've got a packed show in the usual way and trying to cover all four teams.
Absolutely. And if you want to get in touch here at the studio with your views on any of the local teams, that's Cambridge United, Cambridge City, Histon, St Neots, or, well, let's be honest, any other football news that you just want to get off your chest, or, you know, a rant that you want to get off your chest, you can get us get in touch with us here at the studio. You can email us studio@cambridge105.fm. That's studio@cambridge105.fm. You can text us. That's 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. You can tweet us on Twitter. That's just look for at @terraces105. That's at @terraces105. And also you can find us on Facebook. Just look for From the Terraces. Right, now I think we should start with undoubtedly the best game yesterday, which was Cambridge City versus Burnham.
Steve? Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic win after last week. And actually, obviously, because you were there as a guest of honour at the game,
yes.
So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts as well, you know, from a different perspective.
I will hold back until you've given the proper analysis.
If I could actually start and go back slightly to last week, we obviously had a disappointing result for the first game of the year at Redditch. And if I could also open up with a chap that people may not know, City fan, but there's a chap called Joachim who... is a City fan from Norway. So we had obviously Shane, who's emailed and texted the show on occasions before from America. So we've got an international fan base here.
Yeah,
and Joachim actually sent me an email. I think he tried to contact the show, but I actually gave him the wrong address. So apologies, but he knows it now, and as do the listeners. He sent me an email saying greetings from overseas and thanks to Steve for introducing me to From the Terraces. As you can imagine, there's not exactly a lot of Cambridge-related football on air in Norway, but I will be able to listen again on the Listen Again feature on the website, which is great. So it says it'll be interesting that I'm a City fan, but do take an interest in non-league football on a wide scale, and that's actually true because he goes to a lot of games across the country in non-league, but appears to have adopted us as his team, which is fantastic. So goes on to say. It's good to see that both Cambridge clubs are doing well at national level, United as well. Hopefully, I think it'd be good for the City of Cambridge and if they get back in the Football League. I met up with Dan, Steve and a few others, the brilliant people at City last week. And although it was a miserable day result-wise, it was always a pleasure to see the true fans connected with the club. I've only been a supporter of the club for 5 years, taking my first ever game against Hemel in the 2008-09 season. A 1-0 home win scored by a goal by Neil Midgley, after a throw from AD Cambridge, I think. But it's a fantastic club to follow, onwards and upwards, Joachim. So he's got good memory, if that's one thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I remember the first game. But obviously, again, you know, nice that he's continued with that. So, you know, please do get in touch, obviously, with things like that. Do get read out. And he was giving his thoughts on last week. Mm. So we didn't have a midweek game because the pitch Linton Grant in the Cup was called off. So our game obviously was yesterday, the big event. So we had Burnham, and... Burnham were 10th in going into the start mid-table and had put on a good run themselves at sort of around Christmas, not including the postponed fixtures. They were, I think, won 5 out of the last 6. But we didn't realise until we got to the ground that news was that they'd actually, management and some players had walked out due to kind of differences. So they were a depleted squad, so it may have been a good time to play them. And they had a lot of kind of reserve and fringe players in their side. And we were dominant, weren't we? I think there's no other word for it in the first half, to the point where it was kind of raining goals. We had took the lead on sort of 5 minutes with a free kick from Robbie Burns, who again our set piece play this season has been better. You know, he scored goals from free kicks on a number of occasions. He was another one that's joined in now, if you like. So we got the lead, and then it never looked back. You know, it was chance after chance, and got the second one, a header from a corner from Lee Chaffee. And then Marriott helped himself to goal number three. That was after a flowing move. Really good move down the right as well. And this was all in the first 20 minutes. And so, you know, absolutely rampant. The game was kind of won by that point. But we kept going. And so we had goals galore still. So I'm actually starting to forget what happened. I think Bosman got on in the act with goal number four from an absolute peach of a cross from Tom Pepper. That was fantastic. And then personally, the best goal, I think, of the game was goal number five, where it was on the break, and Burnham had an attack, and on the break, really fast, fluid move, and then Bosman's weight of pass when he had options left and right, he slipped the ball through to Marriott with a pass that nobody really saw, that you just a disguised pass, absolutely inch perfect into Marriott's path, where he didn't have to break any stride, and he stroked kind of almost past the ball, but it went into the top corner, and he put no kind of power into it, but it was just stroked into the top corner. That was my favourite of the goals. So that was five, and then the sixth one was Bosman again on the end of a one-on-one. He got through, broke the offside, and slotted calmly for six. And you know, it was unbelievable stuff. We were pinching ourselves as to when we've been that good. You know, yes, Burnham were depleted, and their back four was incredibly square, and they were caught, and they had a young goalkeeper. But, you know, it could have been more. He actually, credit to him, made, you know, two or three saves as well. You know, and it was just help-yourself stuff. But we were brilliant. And so, you know, 6-0, I don't ever remember it being a six, going into half-time six. I don't think it's obviously not common anyway, but certainly in my time, I don't remember that. And, you know, it was happy days, it really was. And people couldn't believe it. But then second half, we continued, got the seventh with Marriott completing his hat-trick, which is brilliant. So that's his third hat-trick of the season. And that was after he'd missed the one-on-one. The hat-trick goal was harder, was more of a half chance than the one he'd missed a minute or two earlier. So yeah. Unbelievably, he just seems to have instinct. Even when he you know, chips it down, he still gets goals. So that was 7-0. And then credit to Burnham. They came, fought back, and they didn't give up. And they got one midway through the second half. And they actually got a second as well from Sears, who's ex St Neots, who got a kind of found himself unmarked at the back with a lot of space, and he crashed in a second. And then it got a bit sort of scrappy, and we obviously lost a lot of fluidity, made some changes, as you'd expect. I mean, you can be forgiven. I think people were a bit frustrated we didn't really go to town, but you cannot possibly criticise a result like that and a performance like that. And you know, we've got games coming thick and fast. We've got a game on Wednesday. And so, you know, there isn't going to be the intensity when you're 6-7 and up. You know, why would you? You know, you're just going to enjoy, relax and play football. And that's what happened. But obviously, there were mistakes crept in and we got a bit casual. So, something to work on. But certainly, the damage was done. And from myself and City fans' point of view, it was absolutely phenomenal. And you know, you can say the opposition were poor, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And say, City teams gone by would have struggled on the pitch, but got a bit heavy. You know, we'd have made hard work of it. And this year, we're just putting teams to the sword. We've got the quality now to get goals from all angles. You know, so I say very different types of goals. There was set piece, you know, free kicks. There was flowing moves. There was header from a corner. There was, you know, Marriott in the right place. There were all different types of goals, really good goals. And so it was a joy to watch. So, you know, I obviously came away very, very happy. I think we're now still a third, but only on goal difference. The goal difference obviously helped. And the best news, the good news following that was Hemel actually lost. So we've closed the gap now, and that wasn't happening before. When we were winning our run, Hemel was still winning. They've now lost two in a row. So whilst you can only concentrate on your own game and results, you know, it obviously towards the business end of the season, people start looking at other results and teams dropping points. So it makes it interesting, you know, very much where we want to be in terms of knocking on the door for the playoff spots, well in the playoff spots, in fact, and trying to get the at least second for that home draw. And then, you know, look, who knows? I don't think, and we've discussed this on the show, the P word many times, United fans, everything else, and the guys here say, you know, don't get carried away, and I think that's right. But, you know, the gap is closing, and if it does close, it makes for a very interesting end to the season if we can keep this going. So really, really exciting times, and just to say the quality of the football. So I'd be interested to get your views, Chris, because obviously you know, you were there as well. What did you make of it?
I was indeed. Well, I don't know. If I was Adam Marriott, obviously over the moon to get a hat-trick, full stop. But the amount of chances he wasted.
He had two or three one-on-ones, didn't he? And pretty could have had... not an exaggeration to say he could have had six, couldn't
no,
he?
No,
really?
That is, yeah, but, exactly. I mean, yeah.
But in his defence, the guy, you know, has been a revelation for us this year. We said it right at the beginning of the season when I said he's going to be a one to watch and a difference for us, and it hasn't disappointed. I mean, you're absolutely right, you could pick holes and say could have got more, but, you know, he's got 3 hat-tricks this year, 23 goals in 20 league games, and you've only got to look at the results when he's not in the team for the first 5-6 games, where we only won one, I think, or struggled to win. Mm. You know, you just got to see the difference he makes.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I will defend him on that one.
Oh, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. Scoring a hat-trick is absolutely fantastic. And as you say, that's his third now, did you say?
Yeah,
his
3
third hat-tricks this season. That's absolutely incredible. And you can see from the way he plays and the way his movement is thinking, it's a stage above, let's be honest, you know, where the way he can just glide past people, and the way, again, it was a fantastic ball by Bosman, don't get me wrong, but the way, as you say, he just took it into his stride and then just calmly, yeah, as you say, he passed it, but yeah, as you say, it went to the top corner. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
It was a really good goal, and as I say, that shows the man in confidence, because to take that on first time, you know, you're on the run, you're running through on goal, but didn't even take a touch. He knew instinctively, I'm gonna slot this in, but it wasn't a slotted finish. It was just precise. To place it in the top corner takes some skill, and I think it was a phenomenal goal. But yeah, I mean, you're right, and I think, you know, what I have liked is that he does work well in partnerships. You know, early on in the season with Chris Bacon, who was a lot of the donkey work running the channels, a lot of hard work causing problems. Then we lost him, and there was a spell where he was carrying a lot of the load on his own. We didn't really have options up front, and now, actually, to be fair, Kevin Bosman, again, you know, now he's fit, and he had a beginning of the season, didn't look up to it, but now is really, really good. He was saying, you know, afterwards on Twitter and things, that he's enjoying his football with us, and, you know, I think he seems to appreciate it, and he's getting games and getting fitter, and he, you know, he's scored 2, made 2, you know, he's now getting goals himself, which he wasn't before, and is again, you saw when he came off, we actually didn't look as much of a threat, so he does cause problems, and I think that partnership is really, really good now, and obviously the goals are coming, but you can see it, can't you, that they have an understanding now where they're setting each other up, and they complement each other quite well, I think.
That is true. I mean, yeah, it was the first time, why should I tell a lie, I saw the St. Neots City game last year. You know, I'm going to say, in all fairness, I thought St. Neots deserved to get something out of that game. So this was my first real opportunity just to go with an almost unbiased approach to go and watch City this season.
Yeah.
But again, personally, I'd like to go and see them against another team because...
I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
it was an unfair reflection, I think, in all fairness.
That is true, because, you know, but the teams we've beaten heavily have been, you know, poor sides, and I think it's a bit of a shame in the sense that, you know, Burnham, everyone was expecting a much tighter game, so whilst we'd take that every single week and everyone really enjoyed themselves, you know, there wasn't the cut and thrust of a normal game where it's tight and you've got to scrap. But they're the ones that, you know, you do get in the season, and they're the ones that mean show the kind of the determination of the squad. If you can scrape a result against the better sides and still win, that's, you know, you've got to win titles. If you're going to go anywhere and get playoffs or titles, you need to win playing flowing football against the poorer teams and seeing them off like we did. Or you can get the scrappier ones where you showed some dogged determination and you still get results. And I think we have exploited both this season. But the league is a funny one in that, you know, it's the first time in a while that there are some poorer teams. But you say Burnham are 10th. And whilst there are extenuating circumstances for them, you know, they're actually not in the bottom sections. And you know, I think that, you know, that it's you can only beat who's in front of you. Now, I think, I say, there will be tough games. We have got tough games to come. So yes, it would be interesting to see how we compare. But, you know, playing like that, I still think a lot of teams will struggle to live with the fluency if we are as good as that, especially first half. It's just, you know, it's keeping that week in, week out. And if people knew the answer to that, then they would be having a kind of Ferguson type record, you know, with regards to winning things, you know. So it's no one knows the secret of consistency, but I think it's just getting a team to gel, and that's what appeared to have happened yesterday, certainly in the first half.
One thing though, you said when doing your report that you weren't too disappointed, and you could see logically, and again I can as well, why in the second half it's slowed down a bit. But yeah, surely from a, let's be honest, from a fan's view, you must have thought, why did you stop? Just keep going.
I know,
going,
it was a little bit of that, actually, yeah. And that last half an hour, we kind of a bit deflated. But it took the gloss off, in a sense, you know, if that can be done. Mm. Yes, there is that. But, in, you know, you get into the minds of the players, when it is that easy, then I suppose you do switch off from the basics defensively, and that's what happened a couple of times. And, you know, credit to Burnham to say they didn't give up. A lot of teams could really have given up, but they did. They did push forward on occasions, and they got two goals. It was annoying because I think Zach as well wanted a clean sheet, and that was something, you know, professionally you want to try and see out. You know, if you're that ahead, you want to get a clean sheet as well. So disappointing, yes, but as long as that doesn't become inherent in the game, you know, you're making mistakes and getting sloppy, then that's fine. I think it is a one-off. You know, I mean, you know, when you, if you're a player coming on into that situation, it's a great time, but you can get casual because, you know, you've seen, you know, now you've watched on the bench, you've come on and thinking this is easy, but of course it isn't. You know, at any stage you Burnham were playing for pride and did that, and yes, it was. I mean, I think we put the fans put the curse on it by started talking about record wins and things like that, you know, at 6-0 you start talking silly talk, and that actually probably you know, put the kibosh on it. But, you know, these things happen, and nobody could have come away disappointed. So, you know, I think it is as it is, and you're right, though, there will be tougher games ahead. Looking at our fixtures, certainly that is going to be the case. You know, we've got a run of games where there's some tricky ones, so I can't see us winning like that, you know, again, really necessarily, despite some of the teams we've got left. I think it's very still way wide open, and as it gets towards, you know, say February, March, April, teams will invariably pick up their game because they're playing for something, be it relegation fighting, be it pushing for a playoff, be it chasing promotion. There's always something in it, usually, and it's rare that you play a game towards the end of the season where it doesn't mean anything. And so teams will always be fighting and scrapping, and they won't let us have it that easy, and I don't think they will, and you know, at this level it's a good league, and teams, you know, well drilled and do play for pride. So it is a tough situation, but as I say, confidence wise it was great to get the defeat out of the system in such good style, and it puts us in good shape for Wednesday. So we've got a game, like I say, Wednesday, home to Weymouth. The league have, in their wisdom, put the Weymouth game in, I think, on the scheduled with a cup game in October time or early in the season. And, of course, it got moved. So, luckily, we're at home. We don't have to go there on a midweek. They've got to come to us, which is a hell of a way. So, should be an advantage.
But much nicer.
Exactly, yeah. So, long trip for them midweek. I'm not sure they'll be relishing it. But, you know, again, we've only got a... they're mid-table as well. Traditionally, we do quite well against them, but, you know, again, we've got to be wary of them. So, yeah, that's coming up as well.
And then on Saturday as well, is there a game Saturday?
No, we've got... would have had Hinkley, and Hinkley, of course, went bust. We learned yesterday, we were chatting, weren't we, Chris, about the... they've actually reformed.
Yes.
The club, so I joke we should play a friendly with them, but I don't know if they're set up yet officially as a team. They've just set the name and getting the wheels in motion. So good luck to them. But, yeah, it's a shame, obviously, because we would have had them, and it would have been a new ground for me to go to, I think, as well. So I was looking forward to it. But, yeah, so we've got a week off, which is... again, perhaps not what you want when you're in good run, but, you know, I have to see after Wednesday.
Yeah.
Gives the players a bit of a rest, which is good.
We'll put it this way, they haven't even decided the actual official club strip yet. Hinkley AFC, as
right,
they're now
okay.
known. They've just lost the United.
Right.
Just very, very quickly, because before we move on. Obviously, as you said, they're now third on goal difference.
Yeah.
What do you think, and what's the general consensus from City fans about the way the table lies, with teams like Poole, as I mentioned last week, so many games in hand.
Yeah,
you must be looking over your shoulders. Thinking,
yeah, you are. I mean, I think there's a clutch of teams there now that you know, they're still in the mix, even though we're getting a bit of a points cushion. The games in hand, absolutely. Poole is one of them. Are definitely one of them. Sorry. What I think though is that the longer they have, the more games they have to backlog to catch on. I think it will play a part later on in the year. You know, I think the squad will get tested for them. And you saw them last week and said, you know, that they were a good side. But I think it will get tested. You know, at semi-professional level, you have to factor in that, you know, these guys have jobs, on the day jobs, a lot of them. And so if you're going to work on a Monday, you're then playing on a Tuesday, you've got a training, whatever, it becomes a real schedule. And yes, if you're winning, it's good, but, you know, it does become difficult. And if they're playing every midweek, which they're going to have to now, I think, and possibly even more, that will take its toll, no doubt, because we've seen it with our team, City, a few years ago. We had a huge backlog 1 year, and we played an unbelievable amount of games in April, and that, you know, really did cost us. And yes, we had a small squad and that then as well, but it does play a part, and you know, you fatigue and everything else. So I think I'd rather, it's the cliche of having points on the board, I would rather, but Poole are definitely a side, yet with their games in hand, and from what you said from last week, they're one that, you know, will feature, I'm sure. But we've got to go there towards the end, and that will be a big game. In terms of the others, Chesham, I always think will be there or thereabouts, and they are. They're in second, albeit we've got a game in hand. Traditionally, every year we lose at their ground at the Meadow. So traditionally, very tough team to play against. I'm not surprised they're up there. They've got a good side. What I wouldn't want to happen really is to face them in the playoffs away because of our record there. You know, that's something I would think if we're going to get playoffs, we want to try and avoid. But there's no doubt they'll be up there. But again, we've got to play them at home, so that's a big game. And then we are looking upwards as well. You know, we've beaten some of the teams around us, kind of Stourbridge, Cypress, and our Biddeford. Those two good sides as well in the mix. We have beaten them. We've got obviously reverse fixtures as well, but that's going to be tough to come. But again, you always look out for those results because they're good sides.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking up, as I say, I was pleased that Hemel drop points. So now it makes the game in 2 weeks' time a really big. A lot of people were saying, you know, it was Hemel's to lose, and it very much is. But it's 8 points the gap. I'm right in saying I think we've got a game in hand. So it's if we were to win on Wednesday, there's a game in hand. That would take it to five. And then it's kind of, look, we've got nothing to lose. We go there. If we pull off a shock result, you know, it's 2 points a gap, and that becomes really, really doable. That becomes chaseable. But you know, they are no doubt a good side. I mean, we played really well against them at home. You know, they score goals for fun. It was a bit of a shock result that they lost yesterday. I don't know if they're having a blip or not, but certainly you keep an eye on that. And you know, you look upwards as well. And I think you're right to say, you know, there's teams below who are chasing your tails, which they are, but you also want to be looking upwards and thinking, well, look, can we have the miracle and try and at least aim for that top spot, because that takes all the lottery, the playoffs out of it. But I think Gary's worked absolute wonders already. And what I think as well is it's not putting pressure on. You know, the expectation shouldn't rise and think, oh, we've got to get top, because that's not. I don't think that helps. You know, I don't think we thrive off pressure like that. I think we're better as an underdog, kind of, you know, going without any fear like that. So it'll be interesting to see. But no, big games coming up. That one in 2 weeks' time is certainly one we'll be keeping very, very close eye on. So.
Fair enough, man. Right, well, that's Cambridge City. We're going to have a short musical interlude. And when we're back, we'll be talking all things Cambridge United. So send in your texts. We'll be right back.
listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
And that was quite slick that time. I thought, you know, the way that, you know, I thought...
Seamless.
Class. Anyway, so having talked about Cambridge City, it's time to talk about another team that's not too far away in terms of geography and where we are in the studio, Cambridge United. Now, I think... Because I seem to remember a few weeks ago, Steve, it was me, you and Matt here in the studio, and... Oh, we mentioned the P word, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I know, and I think Matt was upset with us for doing so.
He was a little bit, but we managed to coax it out of him. Unfortunately, since then, genuinely, this is no joke, listeners, since then, United's form has, in the league anyway, taken a bit of a blip.
Indifferent, really.
It's been indifferent, yeah, that's the best way to describe it. And it carried on, unfortunately, yesterday, away at Halifax. Halifax, to be fair, is a hard place to go anyway.
Yeah.
I know they're... I'm just trying to see where they
were. Well, they're seventh now, and they aren't a bad side by all accounts. I mean, I know that, you know, obviously I remember coming and making my kind of studio debut on that first Sunday, and it was the BT game. They just had one, the first game of the season against Halifax.
Yeah.
And I remember the euphoria that was around and the kind of feel-good factor with them, and rightly so, they'd had a 5-1 win. But I remember watching on TV thinking it was a good performance. United were dominant, but there was obviously factors there as well in that Halifax had lost a bit of discipline, had two sent off.
Yeah.
Prior to that, they had looked quite good, and I think they even took the lead with Gregory on that day. And, you know, if they'd had 11 men, you know, maybe they'd have given him a better game, and perhaps not got the result, but you could see that Halifax come up and no fools. So, you know, traditionally have been a conference club at that level. Difficult place to go, absolutely, and obviously then they've come away with to come away with the draw. So you've got the sort of mini match report there.
Yes, I do. I'll go on to say the consequences of only getting a point. Tom Elliott gave United the lead just after the hour mark in 65 minutes, following Harrison Dunk's cross. By all accounts, it was well deserved. You know, United had been absolutely dominant up until then. Lee Gregory, mentioned earlier, scored against them on the opening day, went close a few minutes later, and then on the 76th minute he did in fact equalise, this time converting Adam Smith's cross to make it 1-1. Hughes keeper John Sullivan was called upon to save a penalty from Matty Pearson, and then with a few minutes to go, Scott McManus was sent off for a bookable offence. Unfortunately, the Ewes were not able to use their one-man advantage, and in the end, had to settle for a point. But what, of course, that means in terms of the table, Luton didn't play yesterday.
Yeah, I think the match was called off against Wrexham, it says here. So, so it's a point gained. I'm looking at literally the table that says... So United played 25, 53 points, and Luton played 27, 57 points.
Mm.
So 4 points. Obviously, it is still then, by definition, in United's own hands. If they win both their games in hand, they go 2 points clear. But the goal difference may come into play. United's is plus 27, and Luton is 34, so 7-goal swing. If United win both their games, it's obviously going to go down, so that'll be quite tight as well. I think it's going to come down to the crunch match with them against Luton, the rearranged game, whenever that is. I don't know when that's been arranged for.
I'm not entirely sure.
But they've got them. Obviously, they've got the psychological advantage having won, beat them in the trophy.
Yes.
But, you know, it is going to come down to that shootout, I think, later. It's going to be really big because both teams have pulled away from some of the chasing pack. Alverton down in third have got 49. So 4-point lead plus 2 games in hand. Actually, 4 games in hand on Alverton. So really, it is a two-horse race. I think, and so that comes added pressure. But you know what we were just discussing, kind of, you know, momentum and form and everything else. And you know, I suppose this calendar year, it's been a bit stop start with postponements as well for them, and they've had the trophy as well. So what they're doing is, looking again just purely at numbers, only letting 11 league goals in 25 games. That is some defence still.
Yeah.
Even with the one from yesterday.
Yeah.
But again, I think United fans will say probably. The goal scored column, scored 38. You have to go right down to Nuneaton in eighth, who've only scored 35. And then there's not many teams that have scored less. You start going towards kind of Woking downwards in 18th, who've scored less goals. So that's probably where the problem lies, I think. But obviously, United fans will see week in, week out. Maybe they're just being perhaps a bit unlucky. But certainly defensively, still very sound.
Yeah.
Even with a different goalkeeper, who saves a penalty as well. which is great. But then you look at it and go, well, are they getting enough goals? But so I think a point away at Halifax isn't a bad result.
Oh no, no,
that's on the face of it. I'm not huge au fait with conference football week in, week out, but certainly that on paper isn't a bad result. But it is the away form in general, isn't it? I think, Chris, you know, that's going to be the deciding factor, I think.
Well, you know, we took again, Tim brought this up. I think it was beginning of December, late November. We had a little look at the form back then of all the teams, like home and away.
Mm.
And most teams, it was noticing, were picking up the vast majority of the points at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, dropping most of them, obviously, away from home. United were out of... I suppose if you had to look at the percentages, United were actually doing a lot better than most of the other teams. Unfortunately, we don't have the stats for that currently in front of us, but it would be interesting to see how those have changed over the course of those couple of months. Their away form has been their Achilles heel so far.
And I think this, you know, it does become tricky, you know, when as the season goes on. As I said, it's exactly the same at that level as well. You know, there's teams to have the league take shape now. Everyone knows what they're playing for. If you're in a relegation battle, mid-table, playoff chase or promotion chase, and obviously, you know, Cambridge United are very much in the promotion chase, no doubt about that, and they've kept themselves in there. But, you know, it comes down to the pressure of those games in hand. You know, yes, they're still fantastic at home, which is actually... what's keeping them up there, definitely. Points on the road, say, if you go to the top 10 team away, in my view, and get a point, that's not bad. But then you've got to start beating the teams in the lower half. So, you know, the ones that are struggling. So, for example, the Hereford game a couple of weeks ago, that's where they'd expect to get at least something from. So those are the kind of ones where it may prove costly. But then it's how you look at it. Is it half full of... That point yesterday could be the point that makes them finish above Luton. So
that's true, isn't it?
Is it a good point? Is it not? From the sounds of it, though, Chris, they were saying that they played quite well and took the lead deservedly. So perhaps they will feel it as points drop because they sounded like they were playing well.
Well, yes, I'm quite happy. We've had a few texts in, albeit two of them are from people who would normally be on the show. But that aside. First of all, we've got from Matt. From what I heard, I assume he didn't go, should have got 3 points yesterday. Dominated for most of the game, created lots of chances, and with the talent up top now, we need to bury teams when we have the chance, especially good teams like Halifax. Need to win the next two games now to put the pressure back on Luton. But could be the point gained in the long
run.
Could be a good point gained in the long run. So there you go. Matt, very much of the same opinion as you, Steve. We've also had a text from Tim, who I'm just going to point out, he's texting in from Poland. Apparently it's -7 in Poland.
I wonder if there's many games played over there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So
winter break, must be winter break.
Presumably, yeah. So wrap up, Tim, that's all we can say.
He's not watching Legia Wolves or anyone like that.
No. Can't decide if it was a good result at a difficult ground to play at or simply 2 points squandered. Lots of pressure in the first 30 minutes. So again, that's a constant theme. Yeah, lots of pressure. Mm. Also never converted a goal. Never got a goal. Good to see Elliot getting on the score sheet again, but poor defending cost us the chance to close the gap on Luton. Looks like Sullivan has found his feet, which is good. I'd be interested to see what others thought of Barnes Homer, who we were just saying
on before the show about, you know, what sort of signings, and obviously, you know, at this time of year again, it's that kind of season where two teams, you know, obviously United had to shape their team a little bit. They've had one or two changes, haven't they? But do they go for broke and start splashing out on players? You know, I know that Dave Doggett would argue that it's got to come down to the finances, and rightly so. But if you're in the situation as they are to be in promotion mix, do they get players in? It seems like they have got one or two, Barnes Homer being one of them. He's been around the block, as I understand it, in non-league terms. I think he has played much at this level.
He played under Richard Money at Luton.
Yes, I thought he was Luton. Yeah, that's right. And I think a proven player at this level, so not a bad signing by any means. But as I say, it's interesting to see how he fits into that team and how he gets on there. By all accounts, you know, not a bad start, but we'll have to see. I suppose he's got to kind of win fans over, hasn't he? And hit the ground running, because there is no hiding place now. Every game is valuable, isn't it?
I'm very happy, though. I mentioned this last week. Very happy to see Ashley Chambers here at. Here at Cambridge United, ex-Leicester youth player, of course I love to mention.
Leicester related up to good knowledge.
Yeah, on this Cambridgeshire community radio station. But, you know, I'm I can't wait to go down to the Abbey and see him, because it has been a while since I've seen him play.
Was he good when you saw him last?
Well, last time I saw him, he was 16.
Okay.
So it was a little while
ago. Probably looks a bit different and built out of it.
Hopefully so. But, you know, we scored 2 in his opening couple of games, so not bad. We have had another text. I would just like to point out, though, we would very much like, so we can name you, to leave your name. So very much thank you for sending the text, but I don't actually know who this is from. But I'm going to read it.
Are you
anyway.
Cambridge United fan?
Yeah, are you Cambridge United fan?
That's good.
Far too much negative. Sorry, I'll start that again. Far too much negativity. The league is still in our hands, and we have Luton at home to come, which is what you mentioned, Steve.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have won against Halifax, but they are a decent team that have picked up more points than us at home. Interesting. Mm. Glad to see Elliot getting through a few games without picking up an injury. Again,
I think that's a good sign. You know, he's like a new signing form there, because I think I know Matt was saying beforehand he was picking him, wasn't he? He was from last year, had a good season last year, and he picked him as his one to carry on. And obviously, just got injured very early in the season. I think probably it was in that first game, wasn't it, against Halifax? Actually, and he hasn't featured much, and he's just come back, as people were saying. And it's nice that obviously he's now getting goals. You very much want that from your striker if you've been out for that long.
Absolutely.
It sounds like he's come back and done well, which is good. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, again, people looking at it different, aren't they? It's the text today are saying negativity actually is a good point. So, you know, I it very much depends on your point of view, doesn't it?
Whether you're a pessimist or an optimist.
Well, it is literally that. But I think, obviously, that particular fan is saying, look, you know, it's still very capable. And as I said, the facts don't lie. If you've got win both the games in hand, they are 2 points clear. So it is in their hands. But it's a kind of opposite scenario to what we were saying earlier. We've got some points in the bag. Do you have points and have game, like you said, pull games in hand, or do you chase as Cambridge United are? Are you the chaser? So,
it's
a lot of psychology in it. It just depends week by week. But I think, you know, if they psychology go back top and winning those games in hand, and then I think that would give everyone a boost, and the negativity that he was saying perhaps will disappear because he can they'll be top of the league again.
I will give you one guess. Who actually that last person was.
It was Lynchy.
It was Lynchy. Thank you very much, Lynchy. Just remember to leave your name.
We should know his number off by heart.
I suppose that is true. But just looking at the next couple of games that Cambridge do have, talking about their away form, the two games are away from home.
Are they?
They're away at Tamworth on Tuesday night. Mm. Just seeing where Tamworth are there. Two very winnable games.
Yeah.
Two very winnable games. Tamworth on Tuesday and then away at Dartford.
So, Tamworth third from bottom, 22nd.
Yeah.
1-6, only 1-6, drawn 6, lost 12. So they, very much at the wrong end.
Tamworth's never an easy place to go.
No, but that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, on paper, again, it looks easy, but to say, as soon as you enter the second half of the season, suddenly it becomes a harder game because they're fighting for survival. They're very much in that mix, actually. Obviously, Hyde, we know, are pretty much gone. Even though I mentioned to them, they did get their first win in midweek.
Yeah.
At Welling, but they are well cast adrift. So you've then got a clutch of teams at the bottom, really, probably Southport, Aldershot, Chester, Tamworth, Dartford, fighting for five teams. So pretty much at the moment, you're looking at three from five, and Tamworth being one. So they won't want to lose a home game, albeit against a team in second. You know, as you'd expect. So that isn't. Again, no game is easy, but if United are going to go progress and get that, they've got to go there and win. So I'm sure Richard Money will be preparing to go out to win that game because they have to. I don't think you can be negative when you're going for it.
Absolutely not. We shall have to see how the league lies this time.
That is one of their games. I'm looking at fixtures on Tuesday then, so there's not a full programme. It's kind of about half a programme. Luton aren't playing, so that is one of the games in hand on Luton.
Oh, there you go.
That it looks like, anyway.
And I assume, I think the other one... Unless they got called off. Well,
Braintree, I think they've gotten there. From Boxing Day, New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be the other one, I think. Yeah.
Again, a very hard place
to go. I mean, I know that's Matt's favourite place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
he loves going to Braintree.
I've heard so much about Braintree. I just want to.
Lovely place.
I just want to go and see it to see.
We played them once years ago, I think I've been once there. And Matt, I had the same experience with Matt where it seemed to rain persistently, heavily, on a really bum, really boggy pitch. And that was back before they obviously progressed up to the conference. So their ground was being sort of redone even then. And it wasn't. I can't remember what the score was. But it's not a favourite place. You do have a very strange entrance to the ground through some pretty interesting housing estate.
Okay.
But you know, that's the people of good people of Braintree. I'm sure will think differently.
If there's anyone listening from Braintree, please give us your side.
Please give us your side. But no, I think so there's a game plan. You're absolutely right. So one of them obviously being Tuesday. So you know, win that, and the gap is 1 point, and then it really is anyone's, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we shall see this time next week. Now, again, we're going to have another short musical interlude after we come back. I think we should listen to the Mighty Saints. Saint Neots is the team we'll be covering next.
You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
Slick. If again, if I don't say so myself.
Getting practice now, you see. It's cheating.
Well, again, I apologise for listeners who listened to the beginning of the show. That show just suddenly stopped. He was in mid-flow and it just stopped. I have no idea what happened. But anyway, excuses. That was Rockin' the Free World by Neil Young. And that's from a documentary. Do you know what documentary that's from, Steve?
I don't actually know.
No, it's, again, you might not have heard of it, Capitalism, A Love Story by Michael Moore.
I didn't know that.
First time I heard it, and but I just thought, that's an amazing song.
Proof, educational and fun.
There you go, absolutely. Well, from Rockin' the Free World, we're now going to move on to the Mighty Saints. And it was indeed the Battle of the Saints yesterday, as St. Neots travelled to St. Albans. Not a huge distance, is it really, from...
No, it's one of the sort of derby games, isn't it?
Yeah, and also the fact that they share the same sort of
prefix.
Name, you know? Yeah, exactly. Mm. So I was able to see the first game at the end of last year when St. Albans travelled to St. Neots, and it was a really, really close, tight affair. John Frendo was absolutely fantastic, scoring a hat-trick, in fact, on that occasion, and bagging the winner in the dying minutes of the second half, which was really quite unfair because neither side really deserved to lose it. But, you know, as I said at the time, and I'm going to say it again now, that's football, isn't it? And that just happened. So expecting an equally close game yesterday based on the previous performance, or the previous game, should I say, and it was equally so. It was 1-1 this time. Very lively, entertaining first 45 minutes. Both sides really going for it. Several chances for both sides. Leon Hibbert went close with a header from a Jay Davis corner. John Frendo then again went close for St. Albans. His shot was a bit of a tame attempt by his standards. Didn't hit it with much power and it went into the side netting. However, it was St. Neots who took the lead on 31 minutes as Lorenzo Ferrari, I'm sorry, I love his name.
Great name.
Lorenzo Ferrari broke past his marker to cross.
You mean sped past?
I didn't want to say that. When he signed, I made all these, you know, things. I did, oh, Steve. okay, sped past his marker, crossed into the near post and deflected off a couple of defenders and it fell to the feet of Simon Thomas, who had the whole goal to aim at, basically, and just couldn't miss. Fired it in for, surprisingly, I didn't actually know this, I thought he'd scored more, for only his second league goal for St. Neots. He scored goals in the cup competitions, but, yeah, that's only his second league goal for the Saints. Bit surprising, but well-deserved. However, that lead only lasted about 7 minutes or so, as St. Neots failed to defend a corner properly, and it was, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Mark Nowocki, who forced the ball over the line from close range to make it 1-1. Half-time, that was the half-time score. Second half, I suppose the best way to describe the second half is that both sides just didn't make the most of the possession when they had it. That's the best way to describe it. Either side could have won it. St. Neots had a fantastic shout for a penalty in the dying minutes when Jake Woolley was sent sprawling to the floor, but wasn't given. Ultimately, I think a 1-1 result is a fair reflection of the game and of both teams' efforts, you know. So,
That's a good result as well.
I was going to say, it's a fantastic result. Mm. You know, St. Albans, are they fifth or sixth?
They were fifth, it's a good result.
So to get that sort of, to put in that sort of performance and to get that, you know, to get a point out of it is absolutely fantastic. But that's something that's, I suppose, that's what's slowly been creeping in recent weeks since the new appointments, obviously made in mid-November. St. Neots have become a very hard team to break down now, and they really put, you know, but hard to break down, but also very fluid and flowing when it comes to attacking themselves. You know, it's a very, very good football to watch. I mean, they changed it around a little bit yesterday, but Ben Ford and forgot his name now. but Ben Ford in the middle of the box is absolutely fantastic. Nothing seems to get past him. He's not really a
defensive midfielder.
He wasn't really that sort of player when he joined, but he's adapted to that and he fits the role superbly. So to get that sort of result, obviously a point's a point. moving up the table a little bit. You know,
good,
starting to.
I'll be interested to see if does Ben Farrell get games for you now? Does he still, does he play?
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Ben Ford and Ben Farrell, centre of the.
He's played, yes.
He's been very, very good so far. And like I say, the two of them complement each other really, really well. You know, we're starting to pick up points and pick up performances where we need to. So,
excellent.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
And well, there's a place up, I think. If it wasn't for a shock win, say, huge, great thanks to Frome for beating Hemel, but if it hadn't won, I think you'd have been bothered them as well. So it is an interesting one. But I think pulling away from that plaque and let's say that I don't think, as you said, signs of good things in terms of getting a more settled unit and being harder to beat and stuff. So
absolutely.
I think that bodes well for the rest of the season. Who have you got next then?
We are away, and I seem to remember, I'm just trying to... Oh, yeah. Big game, the next couple of games. We're away this Saturday to Bedford Town. So that is a definite 6 points at the bottom of the table. And then equally so on the Tuesday night, again, I'll talk about this in a bit more detail. Oh, no, I won't, because I'll be in Barcelona this time next week. So I won't, so I'll talk about it now. The Tuesday night game on the 28th, away at Chippenham. So two very big games.
They are teams around you then in that case.
It's absolutely.
Bedford Town being under new management as well themselves as of, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but they lost heavily yesterday, and Chippenham also, I think level on points now. So two tight games. Those are the ones you've got to win, really.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. But you know, as you say, moving in the right direction. A team also starting to pick up a bit of form again is Histon.
Well, we should really have put these higher up the list because, again, you know, Histon fans, you get in touch with you, you could have had a real say on this because those that went were treated to an unbelievable game. They went to North Ferriby United, who are near towards Hull, I think, in East Yorkshire, am I saying?
Yes, I believe so.
Top of the Skrill North at the start of play. Histon went there, and the result was North Ferriby 4, Histon 4. An unbelievable scoreline, as you can imagine. Don't get many of those. So I'll read. I've just literally kind of shamelessly got the North Ferriby viewpoint, which was a link from someone on the Histon message board. So it says, Ferriby stay top of the Skrill North after this entertaining game, but would have given both managers defensive nightmares. both sides lost 2-goal advantage in a topsy-turvy game. Histon started the better of the two sides and took the lead on 3 minutes. Nathan Hicks won the ball on left, and his run and cross was found. Lewis Taffu hit a shot behind Adam Nicklin. Histon doubled the lead on 11 minutes when he pounced to score after Nicklin parried Taff's low shot. So Histon running up and should have scored a third, on 16 minutes, but Hicks won a ball on the left and his run and shot went wide when he had two colleagues placed to score. Up at this point, the villagers, which is not what they said, so apologies, this isn't me, this is off of the North Ferriby.
Of course.
The villagers not really threatened, but they were given a lifeline in 18 minutes. Nathan Jarman hammered home a penalty after being fouled by Zach Mills. The goal boosted Ferriby and they lifted their game. Ryan Kendall drew one-on-one save from the goalkeeper. Jarman hit a shot at Histon keeper Kuchka.
Yep.
Then Jamie H. Shaw, a shot blocked by Remy Clamera. Ferriby's passing game was off-key and Histon were quicker to the ball. However, Kendall equalised after 43 minutes and volleyed into the top corner. The second half was a mirror image of the first. Ferriby started brightly, went ahead for the first time and took lead when Histon keeper Kitcher and Roberts left the ball to each other. Kendall nipped in to score. 2 minutes later, it was 4-2. A long punt forward found Kitcher off his line and the ball bounced past him into the net. Ferriby then increased the pressure and had a free kick hit the inside of the post and a shot superbly blocked. So it was 4-2 at this point. So I'm just trying to keep the thread going. So Histon were two up. Then they went to 2-2. Now 4-2 down. So Histon changed the game again when substitute Nick Freeman capitalised on a defensive error to make it 4-3 with virtually his first touch on 78 minutes. And Lewis Taff levelled the scores 4 minutes later when he took advantage of another error in the defence. Both teams went looking for a winner in the final 12 minutes, but the draw was a fair result. And it says that their manager was feeling... So this is North Ferriby manager felt a little frustrated that they weren't defensively strong and they said they were on a good run. But credit, I think he does actually give credit to Histon. So, by all accounts, you know, if you score 4 away from home against top of the league, you deserve something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've had a good day, but obviously, you know, clearly Ferriby were good up front. So, sounds like an unbelievable game. You know, if I was a Histon fan, I think you would take that before the start of play. But then, I suppose, if you race into a 2-0 lead, you then would perhaps be looking for better things. So, again, it's one of those, was it a good point or not? But, I mean, you're certainly treated to a thriller.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that'll have done them, well, that hasn't done them any harm in terms of the league positioning. They're still mid-table. Well,
yeah, I think 16th. That's right. I think they, yeah, and I think that, as you said, they've started to put a little bit of run. They got that bad spell before Christmas out of the way, haven't they? So, you know, and I suppose I should be nice to the landlords about this. So. but no, they are doing well. So I'm just going to check the table there. But yes, as you say, I think they've pulled away from the pack.
They've got a bit of a cushion now.
And results like that, you know, getting a point at league leaders is absolutely, you know, I think you've got to look at that positively, haven't you? So, yeah, so I think just looking here, so they are in 15th position, a little bit clear of the bottom group.
And they're away at Stockport County in the next game.
Which that's a big game.
That's going to be another interesting game. Well, we're approaching the top of the hour now. It's been another very entertaining show and hopefully a very entertaining one for you, the listeners, as well. I've been Chris and I've been joined tonight by...
Hi, I'm Steve, yep. And so next week we'll have sort of a full compliment back.
No, me and Matt are going to be on our holidays.
Oh, right. Tim will be here, I'm sure. And possibly Tom, I don't know. But we'll have to see. But, join us again next week for another show. Hopefully you enjoyed this one as well.